John chapter 16, and we're going to be reading this morning the first 15 verses of the chapter. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he does God's service. And these things will they do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go to him that sent me, and none of you asks me, where do you go? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he shall show it to you. All these things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. The Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we bow in thy presence. We seek thy face, we seek your hand upon us, we seek the filling of your Holy Spirit, that we might be embodied with a message from you, Lord, and that those that would hear the word of God, that they would take it to heart, they would take it as a message from heaven. Father, we ask this, giving thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The message that we have, we're in John chapter 16, and I've broken the passage up like this, verses 1 to 4, the Lord's departure in relation to a hostile world. We're living in a hostile world around us now. If you don't believe that, just go out and start passing out gospel tracts downtown Victoria. I've done that, and I know people are hostile to the Word of God, and we'll see a little bit why. Verses 5 to 15, the Lord's departure in relation to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then next week you'll be taking up the Lord's departure in relation to our hearts. Remember in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also on me. So our hearts have to be ministered to, so don't miss next Sunday. It will be very important that you're here. Verses 1 to 4, the Lord's departure in relation to this hostile world. I remember when I started reading the Bible, I became a Christian at the age of about 22 years of age, and I've been saved for 36 years. You can sort of do some quick math and figure that out. But I remember one of the first things that they told us, whenever you see the word therefore, you see what the word is there for. So in other words, these things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended. And the word offended in this verse is the idea of being caused to stumble. So, but what are these things? These things have I spoken. So he's talking about something that he has already spoken about. So yeah, if you're like me, you're going to look in the last verse and keep going back and back and back. And then you're going to find that division that starts about verse 16. And he talks about coming into the world and the world hating him. The world hated the Lord Jesus Christ. This scripture might be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. And because they hate me, they hate you. So the next time you receive a rebuke, a reproach for the sake of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not because they hate you, it's because they hate him. It's interesting because people have this idea, no, I really love God. But as soon as you start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ as a person, then all of a sudden the horns start coming out. And all of a sudden you see the real character of the person. So what was he doing? Well,
if all of a sudden he left them and they got into this relationship, if he left them without warning them that people were going to hate them, then they wouldn't have been prepared. So all of a sudden they say, well, when I got saved, nobody told me that I was going to receive rebuke and ridicule and persecution and tribulation and scorn and mocking. Nobody told me about that. But the Lord Jesus is very clear. He says, the world has hated me and it's going to hate you. It's interesting because the Bible says, you know, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. And that's true. But at the same time, when you are involved in gospel work, whether you're knocking on doors, whether you're passing out tracts, or whether you're preaching in the open air, people take offense. And why do they take offense? In John chapter 15, the last part, you heard that last week, he says, because I revealed their sin. I revealed their sin. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he said, what do you do for a living? And I said to him, I'm trying to populate heaven with sinners. What do you think of that for an answer? I'm trying to populate heaven with sinners. And he said, well, how's it going? I said, most people don't want to go. It's interesting. You'd think they'd be dying to go there. But they got the brakes on. You know, even people, when you go to the old folks' homes, and we play a lot of music in old folks' homes, and we go around, talk. After we play, we don't just play and then just run out. We go and we talk to people. And when you talk to people, you know, you say, you know, do you know where you're going when you die? Have you met the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Well, I've been going to church since I was a little girl. And so, you know, and they tell you the whole story. Yeah, I know that. But have you ever trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you done that? That's what it boils down to. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, he reveals their sin. In verse 2, it says, they shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time comes that whosoever kills you will think that he is doing God a service. These people, when they got saved, they would go to the local synagogue, and they would open up the Bible like our brother did this morning, and he would say, you know, in Exodus chapter 12, it's talking about the Passover lamb. And Paul's letter to us in the Corinthians, you know what it says? Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So this man, Jesus, the one that came in the flesh 2,000 years ago for us, he was like the lamb and he was slain on that altar. And when his blood was shed, it was put on the doorpost there, the doorpost there, and the doorpost there. I used to be a butcher for many years. I used to kill cattle. People say, oh, that's a disgusting job. Yeah, it was, but you know, when at the end of the day, I could go to the sink and I could wash all the blood off. I feel sorry for the mechanics. You know, that grease gets on there, never comes off. But, you know, if you put blood there, what happens? It drips down here. And they put the blood there. The cross, the picture of the cross was right there in the Old Testament for them to see. The blood of Jesus, Jesus hanging on the cross, and his blood was shed there for you. And for me, you know, the Apostle Paul, after he got saved, he was there when Stephen was stoned. He was a young man and Stephen was stoned. You know, when we were kids, we used to take these little tiny stones and we'd throw them at birds and throw them at squirrels and bees' nests and anything we could throw. But these guys, they took big stones like that and they would throw them at people and kill them. Could you imagine killing someone? You know, taking a pistol and going boom. That's over like that. But can you imagine taking a big stone and throwing it down on top of somebody's head? That's the hatred that they had in their hearts. You read a few months probably back in John chapter 8, the woman that was caught in adultery. And I remember reading the account that was written by Max Lucado and the way he tells the story. And he says, these men, they come up and they had stones in their hands and they bring them before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they accuse her of adultery. They're ready to stone her instantly. They're just waiting for him to give the word. Imagine having hatred enough to kill someone. But the Bible says, if you have anger in your heart, you've already committed murder. Wow. If you have looked at a woman with lust in your eyes, you have already committed adultery. If you have been covetous, you're looking at that bicycle or that iPad that that other kid has, and you say, well, I would like that. All of a sudden, the wheels are going around and say, how could I have not one of my own? I want that one. Because I don't want to wait till next month or next Christmas till I get one for Christmas. I want one right now. That's the sin of covetousness. So the Apostle Paul, here was his testimony. In Acts chapter 26, he gave his testimony. He said, I truly thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. Being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. And that's where he got saved. He got saved on the road to Damascus. And verse 3, the reason, and these things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father. When a person does not know God, they're capable of anything. Even us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, how many wicked thoughts have entered our hearts since we've trusted Christ? The true man of God, you know, Paul, he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. He didn't say I was. He says, I am, because he knew the wickedness of his own heart. And verse 4, but these things have I told you that when the time comes, it's not if the time comes, when the time comes. There's going to be a time, you know. Teaching, all teaching starts from the principle of the known to the unknown. You know this right now. So it's going to get worse. The next section we're dealing with, the Lord's departure in relation to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets a lot of bad press, I think, you know. A lot of people misrepresent him. You know, if you turn on the TV or if you go on YouTube, it really sort of, you know, before, as brethren, we would never want to go into the Pentecostal church and see what's happening in there. We just hear all these here stories, you know, what people are doing, you know. Now you can turn on the internet and you go on YouTube and you can actually see what's going on there. You know, they're vomiting in the spirit. You know, they're barking like dogs. You can see it for yourself. There's a guy on last week and he was oinking like a pig. And he was doing that in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that's the power of the Holy Spirit? I hope not, brother. I hope not. But that is what's being passed off as the power of the Holy Spirit. They're talking about being drunk. And they're talking about, for the young people here, they would, well, I remember this, and I'm 58 or 59 now. I've lost track, you know. They're talking about toking the cross. So there's two people that are pretending they're smoking, like a joint, the cross. Isn't that nonsense? And these are people that fill football stadiums with people. With Christians, so-called Christians, are going to these kind of rallies. So we're going to read what the Holy Spirit actually does this morning. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asks me, why do you go? Because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he was their protector. Remember when they were in the garden? He says, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am. Let these go their way. He was always standing in front. Our brother mentioned that verse about the covering. I remember a story years ago about a prairie fire. And there was an old farmer, and the fire had come along, and it just burned everything in his path. And he went back to his farm to see what was left. And he saw a clump on the ground there, and he took his old work boot and he gave it a little kick. And all of a sudden, a bunch of little chickens ran out from underneath this clump. What was it? The mother hen was brooding, covering the chickens. When the fire passed over the top, all the chickens were underneath the wings. The Lord Jesus says, I want to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chickens, but you would not. You wouldn't allow me. The Lord has such a care for you. I hope you realize that this morning. His all-encompassing love, it reaches every one of us in this room this morning. Matthew 11, the Lord gives us an example. He says, "But unto you, which shall I liken this generation? It's like unto a generation sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows, saying, 'We have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned and you have not lamented.'" What was he saying? People in every church audience, there's always that group of people that do not respond to the word of God. Even though the preacher is preaching his heart out, sometimes he has to bang the pulpit to wake people up. Sometimes he has to raise his voice to get people's attention. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was preaching, there was no response. He says it's like kids in the market. They're playing their game. They're pretending they're the funeral procession. And they're walking along and their friends are just there. I've seen this before. I've heard this message. I heard them preaching on John chapter 16. I'm not interested. Tell me when it's over and I'm ready to go home. Well, the Lord Jesus says, "I will send unto you the Comforter." We live in a day when we need comfort. In John chapter 14, he was presented as the companion, the one that comes alongside of someone. "I will not leave you orphans." Have you ever been in an orphanage? You can't imagine what it would be like living in an orphanage. I remember where I come from, Prince Edward Island, beautiful, lovely place way back on the East Coast. And there's a beautiful story about a little redheaded girl, Anne of Green Gables. And you see the beginning of the story. Here is Anne shoved from house to house and then living in an orphanage. Not loved by anyone. And all the kids, when people would go into the orphanage, they were saying, "Choose me, choose me." That's what were the words of their hearts. But the Lord says, "I will not leave you orphans, but I will come to you and I will be with you." And then we see the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I want to put this out before us. When the Holy Spirit comes into the believer, it says, "Know you not that your body..." Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit dwells within you. So when the Holy Spirit is working and doing his ministry, which we read in verse 8, "He shall convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment." So he's the convictor. He says, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" Have you ever tried to convince someone that they're a sinner? Have you ever tried to convince someone that they're lost? That they're not good enough to go to heaven? You've tried and you failed. Why? It's the Holy Spirit's work. But the Holy Spirit, he has to work in you. And by means of you taking the Word of God and saying, "What does the Bible say?" The Bible says, "All have sinned except Steve." I use that illustration to people. "All have sinned except Alan." No, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord Jesus, he talked about that. Steve told me that they were taking the kids out for Sunday school. And I love working with Sunday school kids, you know. If you ask Sunday school kids, "What is sin?" You know, without a doubt, 90% of them will say murder. Why do they say murder? How many little Sunday school kids have you ever met that have murdered somebody? How many people in here have actually murdered somebody? I hope none. Right? Okay. But everybody always tries to take a sin and then they the worst sin possible, because that means they're not guilty. But you know, but other sins, if we say, "Well, what's the worst sin?" You know, and if you're a guy like me, you're probably saying, "Well, the worst sin, that would have to be homosexuality, because I don't want those guys around me." You know what I mean? Because it affects me. Somebody else is thinking, well, stealing. I hate when people steal against me. You know? Another, somebody else says murder. You know, in my life, I've had a gun on my head 3 times. Twice on the back of my head, a pistol here. And then I had a shotgun pointing right at the front of me. Okay? Now, not too many people have experienced that. But I tell you one thing, that at that time, you better be ready to go. And you don't know if that's going to happen to you. And you know, I still have those. Every time I see someone running past the front of a window where I am, all of a sudden I'm in the bank the other day, and I'm sort of looking out the corner of my eye. Are they going to come running in here? And I'll be the guy that they put on the floor and hold the head. You know, it's happened to me enough times. I'm getting used to the routine. Yeah. It's sure good. You know what I said to that guy? He said, tell me where the money is or I'm going to kill you. I said, we already told you the money. Tell me where the money is, I'm going to kill you. I said, go ahead and kill me. I said, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Are you trying to be a hero? I'm not trying to be a hero. I know my sins are forgiven. Friend, this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't had that time in your life, get serious with God. Make sure that you don't leave here without trusting Christ as your personal Savior. You know, the Lord Jesus, when He talks about sin and He talks about the Ten Commandments, you know where the Ten Commandments start? It doesn't start with thou shalt not commit adultery. Lots of women would say that's the worst commandment because that talks about a cheating husband. I've been cheated, I've been jilted, I've been lied to so many times. You felt the hurt, you felt the rejection. Men are dogs. Yeah? In the heart of every man, there's that attitude where a girl walks by in a low-cut dress and every guy is there looking like that. It's the evil heart of the flesh. It exists in all of us. And you think, well, you know what? When I've been saved for 25 years, I'm not going to be affected by that sin. Oh, yeah? Just wait. 30 years? 35 years? The flesh never goes away. Yeah. But you know, when you talk about the Ten Commandments with God, what does the Lord say? He said, I, the Lord, am one Lord. And then the second, He says, you shall not have any other idols before me. And the third commandment is, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So the first three commandments have to do with Him, not with us. We look at sin as against us, but sin, first of all, is against God. Remember the prodigal son. He said, I will go and I will say, I have sinned against heaven and against you, Father. So all sin, first of all, is committed against God. That's why you have to get right with God this morning. We shall convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You know, there's three beautiful pictures. You know, the law was written in the tables of stone with the finger of God. Remember that? Deuteronomy chapter 9 and 10, it says that. Remember when the woman was taken in adultery, Jesus knelt down and wrote on the ground with His finger in the ground and the sand. And some people say, what did He write? Maybe He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Maybe thou shalt not covet. Maybe thou shalt not kill or lie. And they left one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, because the oldest, no doubt, had many years of sinning. There's another verse in Jeremiah 17, I believe it is. It says, they that have forsaken the Lord shall be written in the earth. Maybe He wrote their names on the ground. And then of judgment, Daniel chapter 5 and 5, Belshazzar was at a great feast, and all of a sudden everybody's looking behind him, and they see a hand, and he's writing words on the wall. And the words were, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin, which none of us understand here. But basically the message was, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. You were weighed in the balances and found lacking. The kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And then verse 9 talks about the greatest sin of all, the sin of unbelief. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Righteousness has to do with what's right before God. We all know what's right and wrong, but it's so easy for us to try to justify things. Well, if I wasn't there, you know, if I didn't have to do that, you were trying to protect yourself. Take sides with God and say, Lord, I'm guilty. And then in verse 11, we're rushing along here of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. God started with the worst. He started with Satan. You read Revelation chapter 19. He talks about Satan was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. They were cast in 1,000 years before Satan. It didn't say where the beast and the false prophet were. He says, where they are, 1,000 years later, they are still there. And then he goes on to say, whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. That's judgment. The last section, 12 to 15, I want to say that the Holy Spirit is not an influence. He is a person. He is a communicator. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. Because why? They're young in the faith. How many people here have been saved for 10 years, just in your heart? So you should have a pretty good grasp of the Bible by now, don't you think? You say, well, not very good. Well, they talked about a brother that was a walking concordance. He used to call me that before I had my strokes, and that piece of my brain is fried back there. You know, I could tell you where lots of verses are in the Bible, but I didn't really have it all applied in my life. So that's the other thing. Not just knowing where the verses are, but applying them. And our testimony of our brother Phil, we've heard different people saying how he walks what he talks. Isn't that marvelous when we can do that? Their status were that they were babes in Christ. That's spending 3 years day and night with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Bible school, isn't it? Being with Him. But even though they didn't think they knew very much, the others said they took note that they had been with Jesus. So his ministry, as we see in verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will guide you into all truth. For first of all, he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall see, he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit was twofold. First, he had a Christ-centered ministry, a Christological ministry. He exalted the Lord Jesus Christ. He lifted him up. I already mentioned that our brother Phil is on his way out. And at the Lord's Supper, there is a need for men and women. It's not just the men that come prepared for the Lord's Supper. If you don't believe that the women create an atmosphere of where a man can stand on his feet and worship, just go down to McDonald's there on a Sunday morning and stand up there at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you get up on your feet and start praying out loud and see the ambience there. See if there's an opportunity that you feel like you can lift up your heart and praise God. You won't find it. Why? Because people don't want to hear that. But when you're in a meeting where there's brothers and sisters and they hear your words that are exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, I think of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, 12 to 19, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now this is the way Paul speaks to the Lord Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, things invisible, things visible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him things, all things were created. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. So the Lord Jesus Christ says that he should have the preeminence. In your life, what does he have? Some people say, well, he has a place in my life. I give the Lord Jesus between 11 and 12:30 every Sunday morning. I never miss. That's a pretty good place. And some people say, well, I give the Lord prominence in my life. Yeah, I even go to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. I'm here. You'll see me. And other people say, I give the Lord preeminence in my life. When I wake up in the morning, I lift up my voice to him. When I sit down for breakfast, I give thanks to him that has provided everything. When I meet people in the street and they don't know Christ, I want to share with them. Someone asked me, well, how do you go about your work? you know, are you doing this? Are you doing this? I said, it's not about that. I said, we care about you. You as a person. We care about you. And we want to see you in heaven one day. It's not a matter of saying, okay, I'm going to check off my list. Okay, I talked to him and him and him and him. That's not what it's all about. It's a matter of looking at that person and knowing that they have an eternal soul and they're going to spend it in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, or in hell in outer darkness. Outer darkness. Separated not just from God, but from their mother and their father and their brother and their sister and their best friend and their wife and all the ones they love. They're going to be alone, forsaken. It's a horrible place. You don't want to go there. You know, I visited a lot of jails here in Charlottetown, back in Charlottetown, in British Columbia. I was down in El Salvador in various prisons doing ministry in those prisons. And I'd say, I would not want to be in those prisons. You've heard the stories about being in those prisons. You would not want to be there. Do you think hell is a nicer place? Do you think it's going to be, that's the kind of people, the worst of those are going to be there. You don't want to go. You want to avoid it at all costs. You want to get right with God this morning. My sister, my wife was telling me about her sister phoned her. She says, I had a dream yesterday. And this dream was so lovely. The Lord was coming back and we're all together as a family. And she says, I looked at my brother-in-law. He's a Christian. And my husband. And my brother-in-law, he sort of has a sort of a bad attitude sometimes. And he sort of treats my husband badly. And I was saying to him, okay, now it's time that you can sort of make things right with my husband, because the Lord's coming back. You can make things right. Is there anybody here this morning in this assembly that you're not really 100%? You know, you can go up there, not just a handshake, you can go up and give them a big embrace. Is that the fellowship that we have here this morning? That you can go up and say, I love you, brother. I'm so happy to see you. All things that the Father has, verse 15, has are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine and shall show it to you. The Holy Spirit has been ministering to your soul this morning. He's been taking the Word of God and he's been pouring it into your heart. And he wants you to get right with God. And he wants you to get right with your brothers and sisters, because he's coming back again. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful. We can say with the psalmist, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Father, we love him because he first loved us. We give thee thanks this morning for your people. Pray that you would bless him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.